Now, on that same note, if I may ask your brother, with your permission.
Well, let's see.
The question was phrased in a different way. I'm going to put it in a different way. You just ate at any number of these kosher establishments up on the wherever in Manhattan. You kind of ate a lot. You wish you had a Tums or something. You're feeling not so good. You're in the car. It's kind of rainy. You're super late. You're in a traffic jam. You got gas. You're not feeling good. You got a headache. You're really late.
Did you really understand the word that I said?
Yeah. Oh. Listen how I tie it together.
Okay.
This is about the infinite and the final.
Yes, your brother. That's why he's got the light blue shirt. So you got, you're in the car, you're grepsing guy.
So you want to know if Hasidim tend to their
needs? No, I want to know, right then, are you thinking about God? Or are you one of us?
I'm supposed to answer the question.
You don't have to. I can bring it up to the cameraman. He's also got a yarmulke.
I mean, to be very open, I pray to God to find a rest area very, very fast.
There you go. That's what I call the synthesis. Are there any moments now or in your past? I'm more interested in present times where you... I don't know, where you question the existence of God. Do you ever think for a second, what if this is just a bunch of whatever? Do you ever think? I mean, do you ever have like a little mini faith crisis? It could be Frank. What was the ticket price here? $15, whatever, you know. $20, so you got to start spilling the beans.
But nobody will tell my rabbi, right? Every day of my life.
Yeah.
Basically. There is this story, it reminds me of a little child who wanted $100. So he came to his mother, Mommy, $100. She said, go to Daddy, as good mothers do. So he goes to Daddy. So Daddy gives him 75 cents and says, go buy yourself a Pepsi Cola and leave me alone. I'm by the computer. So when your mother and father reject you, the third resource is, of course, the Lord.
The Eberster.
Very well. So he writes a letter to God. Dear God, this is your son. I desperately need $100. Puts it in an envelope, stamps it, addresses it to the Lord of the USA. He thinks if the Lord is everywhere, he must be in America too. The post office gets the envelope. The Lord of the USA? Who's that? Okay, so they send it to George W. Bush. Bush opens the envelope and he sees this innocent request. So he tells his secretary, send the boy $5. Bush thinks a child gets $5 in the mail, he'll be overjoyed. The boy gets the $5, opens the envelope, sees it, and sits down to write a thank you letter to God. And this is how it reads. Dear God, thank you so much for sending me $100. However, I noticed that for whatever reason, you were compelled to send it through Washington. And those idiots, as usual, deducted 95% for taxes before they sent me the rest. So do me a favor, next time, send me the money directly. Unlike this innocence of a child, of the child, although I have a beard and a yarmulke, and I look religious and Hasidic, I could speak for me personally, I can't speak about other people. God, for me, is counterintuitive. when I wake up in the morning, my America Online calls out to me more than God. The cheesecake calls out to me more than God, as does the toothpaste, or the Danish, or the cup of orange juice, or my baby screaming. And God remains counterintuitive. And therefore, for me, faith is a challenge every single day. I ask myself, is there a God? Why should I go daven today? Why should I go engage in prayer? For what? For whom? I have a busy day. I have 100 letters to answer. I have bills to take care of. I have this job, that job. Let me go do something productive and meaningful rather than the daily prayer marathon with those Jewish blood pressure phylacteries type of thing. And yet, one of the moving messages in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism and in Hasidism, is that if faith does not entail a crisis, it's not faith. Because it means that your soul never touched the texture of earth. And if you believe in God, God created a world in which he's supposed to be concealed. And if you don't struggle with his concealment, if you don't struggle with faith, if you never have a question, so then you never landed. And if you never landed, so you're actually not in touch with God's plan for you, which was to sense the texture of darkness, the texture of physicality, of mundaneness in its full majesty or profanity. So why do I pray in the morning? Why do I decide this way and not this way? I've read in philosophy, Jewish philosophy, secular philosophy, all the arguments for a God and against a God, you know, all the big, big arguments from all the philosophers and thinkers and theologians, etc., etc. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you cannot prove God's existence in the laboratory. Money, sexuality, food, and of course sushi will always be more present than God. That's the fact for me. I know for you it may be different, but don't me. For Peter, it's certainly different. That's tzaddik. Can I ultimately prove it in the laboratory? No. But I tell myself the following. You and I can live a life without love. There's no way to prove in the laboratory that love is a reality. You can live a life without music. I have a friend who doesn't believe in music. He calls it manipulation of notes. Just manipulation of notes. You could live your whole life without music. You can live your life without a sense of humor. There are people who live without a sense of humor. When I once told somebody, don't you believe in humor? He says, there's no such a thing. What is humor? Humor is not a reality. It's not food. You could live with love, without love, without music, with humor, without humor. However, I think a life without love, without music, without humor is a choice, but it's a shallower life. It's more superficial.
I knew you guys are super judgmental.
It lacks, in my eyes, in the name of open-mindedness, a majesty of spirit that human life can experience. That's what God ultimately represents for me. I can live a life without God, and I could say, listen, my computer exists, my food exists, my bank account exists, my stress exists. God does not exist. Moses believed in him, that's not my problem. Simon believes in him, it's not my problem. Besides, because of the brother issues. But besides that...
I told him all he knows about God.
But for me, such a life is just much more shallow. It means that I am here by mistake. It means that nothing I do has ultimate significance. It means that there's nothing challenging me to really go beyond my own horizons. So that's why in the morning I say, every morning to myself, I choose to say and to connect to that voice within myself that says, there is God and life. And every moment of it thus contains infinite drama and potential.
It sounds good. It sounds real good.